All right, so here is the reading. After this, this is the 21st chapter of John. After this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. And this is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brother Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. And Simon Peter announced, I'm going fishing. The rest replied, well, we're going with you. And they went out and got in the boat. They caught nothing that night, and when the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach. Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast? Now, you know, let me stop here for a minute. Does that strike you as kind of a silly question? I mean, did you? He knew. Amen? I'm just saying. They answered no. He said, throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens. They did what he said, and all of a sudden there were so many fish in it that they almost weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the master. And when Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw out some clothes, for he had stripped for work, dove into the sea. And the other disciples came in by boat, but they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the full net of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire was laid and with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've just caught. And Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore, 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. Jesus said, breakfast is ready. Not one of the disciples dared ask, who are you? They knew that it was the master. Jesus then took bread, gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus has shown himself to be alive to the disciples since coming back from the dead. So after breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, master, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. He asked the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, master, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. Then he said for a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter was upset that he was asked for a third time, do you love me? So he answered, master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you. All right, this is where I'm not Jesus, right? Because my comment to that statement would have been, and what'd you say to that woman just before they arrested me? That you didn't know me? Yeah, I know you love me. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I am telling you the very truth now. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wished. But when you got old, you'll have to stretch out your hands while someone else dresses you and takes you where you don't want to go. He said this to hint at the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded him, follow me. And turning his head, Peter noticed the disciple Jesus loved following right behind. When Peter noticed him, he asked Jesus, master, what's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, if I want him to live until I come again, what is that to you? You follow me. And that's how the rumor got started among the brothers and the disciples that this disciple wouldn't die. But that's not what Jesus said. He simply said, if I want him to live until I come again, what's that to you? Okay. You want a three-point sermon? You're going to get it, okay? Let's talk about the first thing. When Jesus appears to them, they've been fishing all night. Do you know, first of all, how much this story is just like us right after a tragedy? Amen? Yeah, I could say that. Remember 9/11?
Yes.
We went to work the next day, amen? You know, we made a big point. They canceled a couple of baseball games, but then when the Yankees had that big game in Yankee Stadium, they brought out the stars, and, you know, we go back to work. We don't let stuff stop us. And partly the reason that we don't let stuff stop us is because we're afraid that if it stops us, we won't get going again. Amen? And so the disciples at that point, they were scared. They had been meeting almost every day behind closed doors. Locked closed doors, no less. All right? And so now, after that second appearance by Jesus, they decide, you know what? We ain't got no money. We got to go to work. And so they go back to doing what they were doing when Jesus found them, and that was fishing. So, of course, we get this story then. Where does Jesus appear now that they're all gathered? Right there on the water, amen, and they're fishing. Now, I will tell you there are pastors out there who, when you go to church and they preach on this part, they will make a whole sermon out of the catching of the 153 fish. I have no idea what the hell the significance of 153 fish is. All I know is, as the story's told, their nets were full. And that's all I need to know. Amen?
Amen. I had their food.
I don't care how many fish it was. Do you care? No. All I care about is Jesus showed up and once again gave them directions. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, that's that. That's point number one. 153 doesn't matter. What matters is their nets were full. Okay. Point number two. And this one is the one that's really, really important. Because I am willing to bet right now that nobody here has really thought about this. Point number two is Jesus starts talking to Peter. Right? I remember, okay, so in church, we call this, or in theological terms, they call it Peter's confession, okay? What is Peter supposedly confessing? Come on.
The sin.
What sin?
Denying Jesus.
Denying Jesus. You know, this would be like, hey, you know, we're all together here, right? Yeah, well, matter of fact, I can give you a good example of it. There was an incident on MARTA, right, where somebody got jumped and were getting the hell kicked out of them. The person was with four of their friends. Not one of them lifted a hand to help them out of that fight. In fact, two of them videotaped it.
That was nice of them.
That's what friends are for.
I'm telling you. So, think about this. I know that we've read the story about the denial of Peter so often, and we never get it really, I think, deep in our gut about what it was really about. He was scared to death, man. He'd heard Jesus talking about the fact that they were coming for him. He'd heard all the stories. He'd been in town. He'd have gone and got groceries and all that kind of stuff. He could hear the talk. And he knew on that night that they arrested him that he was next. Amen? Because remember, as the setup goes, he was what? He was the second guy in charge, remember? Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my, you know, my whole movement, my whole ministry. You're the next guy in charge. So, let's be honest for a minute. We've always said that Peter was a coward, and that's why he denied who he was. How about this side of the coin? Peter denied it because he knew that he had to live if the movement was going to go on. You're not buying that, are you?
No.
Well, we like to judge people. And my point is, we don't know Peter's mind. And that's why this part of this story, I bet you have never thought about. Because here we go. The church causes Peter's confession, right? Folks, run this story back through your head. Okay? They've caught the fish, and now Jesus looks at Peter. And he says to Peter, now wait a minute, who started the conversation? Jesus. And he says to Peter, do you love me?
Yes.
And Peter said, well, yeah. And then what did Jesus say? Feed my sheep. Okay? I want you to hold on to that for a minute. Do you love me? Yes, then feed my sheep. And then Jesus, for a second time, says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. And he says, what?
Shepherd.
Shepherd.
Shepherd my sheep. By the way, everybody know what that means? You know what it means to shepherd your sheep?
Guide them.
Yeah, take care of them, drive them, get them from one place to another, A to B. Make sure they get where they're going. Feeding them, make sure they have the food that they need, the sustenance they need. And then Jesus asks him for a third time, do you love me? Now, in this translation, the author, when he did the translation work, kind of toned it down. But when you read it in the NIV and some of those, Peter is pissed. He is typical Peter. Remember how Peter was before Jesus got killed? He was always the one that was getting into people's face. He was the one that was saying, I'll never deny you. He's the one that took a sword and cut somebody's ear off. So now Jesus has had the audacity for the third time to ask him if he loved him, and now he's pissed. And it's like, you know that I love you. And that's why I say this story I like better with my attitude as not being Jesus. Like hell you love me, you deny me three times, because isn't that the queen thing to do? Remember every hurt that's ever been sent our way. Now, for those of you who've been following along, you might know why I've just put this story front and center. How many of you believe that in order to be okay with God, that you've got to confess your sin? How many? Go ahead, just put your hands up. One? Anybody else? Another one? Okay. Folks, I am about to give you a lesson. Did Peter confess his sin to Jesus?
Nope.
Absolutely not. In fact, he didn't even make a move to make amends. Hello? Remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son made a decision. And then it says in Scripture, while he was a long ways off, the father ran to him. And when the kid started to confess, it says, but the father wasn't listening. You've got the same thing here. Peter saw Jesus, jumped out of the boat, swam to him, was in an immediate relationship. And what did Jesus say? Do you love me? What an incredible piece of theology. God, I am a sinner. Do you love me? That's what I want you to take with you today. No matter what you think your sin is, no matter what the challenge is, what you should be hearing is God saying to you, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And if you want to know where that came from, what is it? Matthew 25? Isn't that one of our basics? I was hungry and you fed me. Shepherd my sheep. Well, what's shepherding? Well, that's visiting them when they're sick. That's clothing them when they're naked, or as you say in Georgia, naked. It's giving them drink when they're thirsty. And here, God, in that prayer that you think should be your confession, ask you a third time, do you love me? Then take care of my lambs. That's the people around you, folks. The babies, the children. It's not about confessing how crappy you are. It is not about sitting into a church and listening to a preacher tell you what a sinful, awful, nasty person you are. What it is about is you wanting a relationship with God, and you hear God say to you, do you love me? Do you love me? And by the way, that's why that button makes sense. That's why we can ask the questions and make the statement that Black Lives Matter, and we don't have to explain it. It's not, folks. It's the exact opposite of what you've been told in the church for centuries. It is not about confessing your sin. It is about your relationship with God and hearing God ask you that question. Do you love me? Okay, final point. Now, remember, Peter was doing fine, right? Because now he's reinstated. He's right back at the top of the, you know, everything's cool. But Jesus has also told him, by the way, when you do this, they're going to kill you. Okay? They're going to take you places you don't want to go. They're going to make you wear stuff you don't want to wear. They're going to do things to you that are really nasty. And you remember the story about John, right? John is the special one. He's the young one. He was Jesus' favorite. I.e. the teacher's pet. Okay? So Peter, never learning his lesson completely, which sounds a lot like us, immediately looked over at John and said, well, what's going to happen to him? And do we not do that in life?
Yes.
We point at everybody. It's somebody else's fault. I tell you, them homeless people, man, if they just go get a job, if they just get off drugs, hey, those people that have got mental health issues, if they just go to the doctor, if they went to the doctor, then they could get a job and then they wouldn't be asking me for money. You know how that goes, right? We've all heard it. It's the same thing that Peter was doing. Okay, I may be going to die, but what about him? And I love Jesus' response, which is basically, let me give you the modern translation. Are you ready? You ready for this? You ready for the Pastor Paul translation of this? What the hell do you care? Follow me. Think about that, folks. When the Christians start getting all upset about gay people getting married, what's the response that I have to them these days? What the hell do you care? Follow Jesus. You're worried about somebody going out and getting a job? What the hell do you care? Feed them. You see, the net is full. That means our lives are full. It's not about confession. And it's not about anybody else but us. God bless you this morning.
Amen.